Sufferings, it's your boy Marty here to introduce this rip of Rabbit Hole Recap. It was brought to you by our good friends at Unchained. Unchained is here to help you better secure your Bitcoin, to make it easier for you to buy Bitcoin, and to offer you financial services on top of your Bitcoin. Everything at Unchained revolves around 2 or 3 multi-sig collaborative custody. They have an IRA product, which historically has had a fee associated with it, but they ran a campaign earlier this year. It was massively successful, and they've officially dropped their fee to 21 cents. So if you want to transition your IRA from a traditional IRA into Bitcoin, you can do so very easily via Unchained and very cheaply, 21 cents. Go check it out. Go to unchained.com and use the code RHR at checkout for any of their services, whether that's concierge, onboarding, or anything else that they're offering, and you'll get $50 off that service or product. This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. CoinKite builds the best hardware in the Bitcoin space. If you're watching the video, you can see this nice, beautiful block clock behind me, but they also have the Cold Card Mark IV, which is a hardware device. It's got 2 secure elements. It's the best way to create private public key pairs in an air-gapped way offline. They also have the Cold Card Q. Update on the Cold Card Q. Comes in many different colors, so you don't just need the plain plastic see-through. They've got many different colors now. They also have a new reseller. What would we call this? A product or a program that if you want to resell Cold Cards, they've really streamlined that process. So go to CoinKite.com. Check out all their products, whether it's a block clock, a Cold Card, a Q, Sats Card, Tap Signer. They've got it all. CoinKite.com. Still don't know if we have a promo code there. Try RHR. Try it and see what you get off. Last but not least, this rip was brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. Stackwork is a cloud sourcing platform that combines the power of humans and AI. If you've listened to us discuss Simple Proof and Digital Witness and how they secured the Guatemalan election on the show, Stackwork and their distributed cloud sourcing workforce helped secure that Guatemalan election. Right now, they're looking for mobile developers. So if you are looking for a job in the Bitcoin space that is not only at the cutting edge of Bitcoin, but also AI, hit up Stackwork, go to their careers page, find it. They're looking for Swift and Kotlin mobile devs right now. So if you're a Swift or a Kotlin developer looking for a job in the space, looking to be on the cutting edge, go hit up Stackwork. And you can go to their website at Stackwork. That's STAKWORK.AI. Enjoy this rip. Okay.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
We're live.
Best way to start the show.
We've got our favorite guest back in the room too, MVK.
I was going to say, is he coming? Your favorite guest?
Oh, you know that. This is what, your fourth or fifth time being on RHR?
I don't know, dude. It's been a few. I think it's a tradition now. Every time I'm in Nashville, I crash.
Yeah, but yeah. There's been times where it's not in Nashville either.
No, yeah.
Yeah. How are we feeling, gentlemen? It's been a long week for all of us.
Great week. Very productive.
It was a very good week. There was a lot of fun.
But yeah, I'm exhausted. This is one of those weeks where I didn't really want to do RHR.
We have to. The show must go on.
That's
right. We can keep it relaxed. Keep the vibes high. I mean, should we just open up?
What?
So don't worry about the chat. Let's have a conversation. You're here. There's the 3 of us.
He's an idiot. The chat's right there.
Oh, there it is.
So what was this week? We had 1031 Bear Claw. So we had our annual founders retreat where we invite all of our portfolio companies to come join us for a few days off the record, which is great. I mean, did you enjoy yourself?
Oh, I didn't go. I'm not a portfolio company. It was great. It was a fantastic. Like, those guys.
Get the fuck out of the room.
I know. You know, it's different. Like, it's like, it's not a like a VC thing. You guys are like retarded like us, you know?
Fair enough. And then a bunch of us.
New marketing, 1031. They're retarded like us.
Put that on a shirt.
It's amazing. No, it was really good. Grateful.
It's just such good people. The conversation's great. The food's good. The drinks are good. We do activities. We go shooting, hiking, sauna, cold plunge.
A lot of sauna.
Poker was fun.
We had a trailer sauna that was wood fired. That was pretty badass.
Yeah, I mean the sauna broke. Yeah, got to make it happen.
pulled in a trailer with the sauna on it. And then a bunch of us flew directly from there to Nashville for the Global Bitcoin Summit, which is our annual event that we host at Bitcoin Park with the Human Rights Foundation. We had about 100 people here, a little bit more, maybe 130 people here from 60 plus countries.
Some stories, man. Some stories.
Yeah, the Human Rights Foundation events are always the best.
It's
they're very powerful.
It's like they're real people, you know.
This is why we do it, right?
Yeah. No, it's seeing people like use your tools to like, you know, actually like not get murdered and you know, like not lose. The stakes are so high.
Yeah, the stakes are so high. Fucking really.
Yeah, it truly is edge case only for security. It's pretty cool, and to get the feedback from the people that actually use it is humbling.
But anyway, on that front, like huge shout out to Gladstein and CK and Arsh and Alex Lee and everyone from the Human Rights Foundation team for putting together that event, and for Rod and Josh on the Bitcoin Park side who led on their side. I will definitely not be taking credit for any of the planning. I was a humble participant, but it was great. It was really good. And we now, a lot of these events now have a little bit more of a Nostr focus attached to them too. They used to be purely Bitcoin. So seeing that intersection of Nostr and Bitcoin in terms of like the real on the ground freedom movement is pretty cool. We had a there was a North Korean defector here, and we introduced her to Nostr for the first time, and we onboarded her, and the zaps just started flowing. Like, she just got so many zaps, and she turns to me, she goes, "I think I'm going to quit my job and post on Nostr." And I was like, "No, don't quit your job." pretty cool to witness it. Like, as she was showing me her excitement, like, you just, the number kept going up.
No, it was like, really cool. It's like, they get it, right? It's not like you don't have to like convince. It's like, this movie just like, oh, you know, I don't even have a KYC phone number to sign up for things. They just like, you know, oh, I made an account on Nostr. Great.
I don't need permission. Oh, I can't get banned. Oh, I can get freedom money. Oh, it can't be faked.
Like, pretty simple ideal. Proposition, boom. Right? Like,
I'm in.
Here's some freedom.
Let me see if I can find this. Most zapped. Last 24 hours.
Well, if you go to my profile, I reposted her.
Hey, NCO Lee.
Yeah.
Zapped. She's got another zap.
Is that the one that escaped North Korea twice?
Yeah.
No, once. I'm going to go back and escape it again.
She went back and rescued her family. I mean, kind of on that note, I have a custom build of Primal that Milan made for me that shows all posts from everyone, including replies and all caps, except for my own posts, which are then lowercase. But why do I bring that up? I just bring it up because the post of hers I reposted really hit hard in caps.
It really goes to show, like, I mean, it's so annoying that you started using dummies, right? Like,
you know, my feed is almost unusable with everyone in caps.
Yeah, it was really great.
Question my life decisions.
You can swap clamps.
That was funny watching you open up your app after uploading the new test fight and not figuring it out for like 5 minutes. And you're like, oh, wait a second.
It's because I think in caps. Caps are my unit of account.
We know.
Well, with that being said, there was a lot going on this week while we were at our founder retreat, and as you guys were transitioning to the HRF event, We have a story about Swan Mining, inside the struggle for Swan Mining. This was written by the Block Space guys, Colin Harper, particularly, I think, wrote this post. And you have a section here that you're going to open up the show with. Per the investor deck, the mining operation at the center of the suit required $400 million of capital and generated $84 million in the first half of 2024. It appears, though, that Swan was not contractually entitled to any of this revenue. The summer 2024 investor deck states that Swan and Tether constructed the joint venture in such a way that Swan would only begin profit sharing once investors received a return on their capital. Blockspace Media obtained a July 2024 Swan shareholder letter that reiterated this point, stating that investors must receive 100% return on their capital before Swan can see profit from the mining operation. All in all, the most consequential accusation the defendants make in their opposition filing is that Swan owned no mining business at all and has no majority claim to the entity 2040 Energy, which is supposedly responsible for the entire mining business in question. By its own admission, in its investor deck, Swan indicates that it is a minority shareholder in 2040 Energy and it could not see profits from that venture until Tether recouped 100% of its investment. This is obviously building on the topic we talked about last week, which was Swan's lawsuit against Tether based off the internal coup that happened there to take the mining business. Now we have more context. And it really brings everything full circle, starting around this time last year when revenue numbers were being projected. And Matt, you started calling out the efficacy of those numbers and the public posturing of Swan at that time. What are your thoughts?
Don't look at me.
I can sleep well at night. And I think everyone should read that was that's a really great article. People should go read the article, and then everyone should. It would be nice to hear the opinion of different people, both within the Swan organization, their board, their influencers that they paid off. Or maybe paid off is the wrong word, but paid would be the right word. It just feels awfully quiet out there. Do better.
Somebody joining us now?
No, there's beer delivery for Matt.
Rob just opened the door. Rob Hamilton just opened the door and just dropped a Coors Light off.
Yeah.
That's nice of Rob. Yeah, the live chat's sparse right now because Rob and MVK are obviously not in it.
We are like 80% of the no.
Yeah, back to the Swan Mining thing, and going back to the revenue projections around this time last year, that's I think we knew something was amiss because it didn't really make sense based off of the comps that we understood, and then then eventually we found out about the mining business, and obviously there was some outside capital in JVs you do typically need to pay back. And so the thought of those revenue numbers actually being legit based off of that, it seems like this is making it clear that they're not, especially if you're considering that all that revenue goes back to the JV and the people that originally.
Yeah, I mean,
I think now that they're like engaged in the lawsuit, like you're not going to hear anybody talking in public for a while.
There's a bunch of people that are no longer at Swan that are still pretty quiet. I think the point
is they probably have a non-disparagement clause in their contracts too. Like it's complicated.
Those are hard to enforce. Anyway, yeah. I think people should go listen to RHR 286 back in January. Seems pretty prescient in hindsight.
Do you feel what's the word?
Vindicated?
Vindicated.
I mean, some might say.
Okay.
The thing is like, look, at the end of the day, I really hope customer funds are fine. It doesn't, you know, we'll see how it all plays out. So that's really concerning. And I feel for people that invested based off of based off of, you know, there was a lot of small investors that were investing based off of certain numbers that were released.
Very effective narrative and story of a company.
Yeah. There's a lot of lawsuits flying around. So, I think I said my piece and I can sleep well at night. And, now it's time for other people to, step the fuck up.
Yeah. We're just reporting on publicly available information here.
Correct.
By the way,
it seems like it's a paywall because you have to subscribe, but you can put in just like a bullshit email address and it doesn't actually verify and then shows you the whole article. I see someone in the comments saying that it requires subscription. It does not. He's just trying to get people to subscribe to his newsletter. Marty, did you see what we named the episode yet?
No. I have not looked. What does
it
say?
I claim this one.
Do you see the YouTube chat? It would give you some signs of what we named it.
Bitcoin God Candle.
Any day now.
Back over 62. We did dump there for a while. That was weird. There was other stuff going on this week, external to Bitcoin, things heating up in the Middle East. And that was interesting to see all of that popping off and then gold skyrocketing, Bitcoin dumping. Bitcoin's not a safe haven. We've got to come up with a new narrative.
No, I mean, as long as like the people who have it think it's a stock is going to trade like a stock.
When do you think we've already reached a point where nation states consider shorting Bitcoin before they launch missiles? Or
definitely.
Or like,
I'm sure there's a desk. I'm sure like Mossad and all these guys, they have a desk.
We're like right before you just go like 100x short. Totally.
The pager company, all the pager stocks must have been taking a hit.
Yeah, we already saw that with like September 11th or whatever.
Airplanes. They all do it.
But with Bitcoin, it's much more liquid and
But there's easier. Also, but there's not enough depth for them. These guys are looking for, you know, returns that we don't comprehend size. You know,
pretty crazy to think about.
I would not be surprised.
Yeah.
They'll
be the fiduciary.
Particularly since these markets trade 24/7, 365, so you can do it on the weekend, you can do whenever. I would not be shocked, but...
There's places you can do without KYC, right?
Yeah. But I imagine there would be leaks at those exchanges, though.
Dude, those guys are the KYC. They can just print the passports.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, you know.
They can just go short on the CME or whatever, right?
Remember that Swiss company, the CIA, they owned them for the last 50 years, and they've been like the crypto that everybody uses? It was like a huge scandal, so you know.
I mean, not to make levity of the situation, like it's incredibly fucked up what's going on over there.
Yeah.
And we had... there were some activists here that are based in that region. There was one Lebanese activist that couldn't make it because of the situation. And there was a Palestinian activist here, who's a great dude. I mean, he gave an incredibly...
He was hard.
Difficult, moving speech. But Bitcoin really does, like, I mean, it doesn't, obviously, it doesn't, you know, cure the pain, but it provides real relief to a lot of people in that region, that they can get donations immediately, and buy necessary things, buy the resources they need, and you know, acquire the resources that can help them try and survive war. And that's incredibly empowering and hopeful on the positive side.
Yeah.
That's pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why we got to keep working hard. That's why it was good to recharge the batteries this week. Focus in on why we're all here.
I mean, that's we've said in the past that Bitcoin is quickly becoming like this macro thermometer of like the temperature of the world. Right, it's liquid, it's saleable, it's 24/7, it's accessible around the globe, it's not controlled by anyone.
So like it makes sense in times of turmoil that it would go down short term. But, you know, I think you said it in jest, but like the core value prop of Bitcoin is the safe haven. There is no greater safe haven. Like if the world is devolving into chaos, you know, Bitcoin is even more valuable than it currently is. And to people that need to move around, that are having their homes destroyed, that are cut off from the financial system, that can't, you know, escape war zones, Bitcoin is incredibly, incredibly useful. While the money in your bank account might not be, or even cash, in some situations.
Listen, you know, in the past, if you were an aristocrat or, you know, somebody that had like a lot of wealth, you know, and there is war coming to wherever you are, like, you know, you take the paintings off the wall, you take the gold off the basement, you take your fabrics, you put in the chariot, you know, and you go to your cousin's kingdom, some other place, right? And then when the war ends, you make a claim and you go back and you hang the painting. And yeah. But this was only available to people that had a castle. Like now you have the same thing, you know, you take your 12 words and you fuck off. And then, you know,
it evens the playing field.
Yeah, because dying is stupid. Go somewhere else, you know, and
yeah. And
then see if you can build a better life. Like you don't have to be destitute when you leave. And that's pretty powerful.
Yeah, it's very powerful. And I think people are starting to wake up to it. I think what's going on, whether it's in the Middle East, in the States, with all the money printing, and that's the big topic in the United States, or at least in some Twitter bubbles this week, is the aftermath of Hurricane Helene and its effect on the Southeast, and the response from the federal government, particularly how much money they're giving people. People are rightfully, I think, pissed off at FEMA and the response by the Biden administration, basically spending all FEMA's money to usher in illegal immigrants and put them up in places, and then going to the victims of this hurricane and saying, we'll give you each $750 in emergency funds while illegal immigrants in parts of the country are getting loaded up with debit cards upwards of $10,000. And I think that has been a big meme this week, is all the money that's been printed or issued in debt and collected and handed over to Ukraine, Israel, illegal immigrants. People are saying you're creating this money out of thin air and giving it to all these different parties that many would argue don't benefit individual American citizens at the end of the day. And then when it comes time to actually support American citizens, you don't have the ability to print money for us. It's like, what the fuck? And I think that will be a catalyst for people really digging into like how fucked up the government is, debt issuances, and where the priorities lay at that level of the government.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's incredibly fucked up. I like the devastation in Eastern Tennessee and North Carolina is absolutely heartbreaking and brutal. Like Asheville just got absolutely fucking wrecked. But on a positive note, I don't know if you noticed, but like Guy Swan on Noster has been, you know, accepting donations via Zaps and then getting supplies out there. And that's a trend that I want to see continue to increase, right? I mean, we were talking about first the Middle East and then now this. If you remember back in the trucker situation, one of the big issues with the trucker situation was that it was like a single big donation pot of Bitcoin. So it was very centralized donations. But this idea that you could have a bunch of individuals that are in areas that need resources and need help, and they can raise funds directly in a very viral way on Noster, I think is incredibly can be incredibly powerful. And we're already starting to see the little pieces of it.
The biggest problem with the truckers is that they didn't want Bitcoin. And the whole thing got psyoped into doxing everybody. It was a fucking disaster.
I was a broken individual during that.
Like, seriously. And you know, what they should really have done is just sent all the money to the lawyers.
But here's the thing, right? Like, a lot of the truckers were social media posters. They were posting videos and stuff directly.
Yeah.
And so, like, if they were doing that on Nostr,
they should have been zapped.
If they were doing that on Nostr, yes. they'd be getting zaps. Yes. And then they can each individually figure out how to convert the Bitcoin into things
if they want to.
Once you get the Bitcoin, you have an incentive. Like, we've never had an issue in OpenSats. Like, we pay everyone in Bitcoin. We've never had an issue.
It's a lot of fucking payments.
We're a grant recipient's like, oh, you just sent me money. How do I convert it? Like, they figure it out. They once you have money and you want to use it, you figure it out.
Yeah. No, and it's another example of, particularly in this, I'm looking at guys' profiles, seeing where I should zap because I have not zapped yet. I was offline most of the week, but another example of the government's not coming to save you. That's, I don't know if you guys have fallen down the rabbit hole of the videos that individual citizens stuck in these areas are sending out and the problems that they're running into, particularly with the federal and local governments, where they're preventing people from using their helicopters to drop off supplies and to try to get people out of areas which are basically uninhabitable and inaccessible due to all the mudslides, or FEMA coming in and saying, oh, you can't donate to this high school donation center. Yeah, you have to give it to FEMA. And they're like, all right, take it. And they're like, oh, the goods that you're trying to give us are on our accepted vendors list. And so they're denying people from actually donating goods because they're not on the list of accepted vendors, which is insane that it exists in the first place. And then they're coming in and taking up all the hotel space. And so people that are trying to get away from their destroyed homes and get a good night's sleep in a hotel camp because federal government workers have taken all the rooms. It's just a complete clusterfuck.
Remember the floods in Brazil? The government wouldn't let them build a bridge. Like, they're building the bridge for the people to leave. And the government, like, no, you can't build a bridge. No, you can't do this. You know, like, the government is there to just, like, pretend to be clinic crew, right? Like, they don't really help.
There was another one out of St. Petersburg, Florida, I watched, where this guy was going around and picking up debris, ran like a trucking dumpster service, and was just offering his services to begin cleaning up the debris. And he did it for like 3 days. They were going to landfills and dumping the debris. And then he shows up one morning, the landfill guy says, FEMA came. They said, you can't do this. You have to go dump it off at their designated locations. And he went to talk to them. He's like, where are they? They're like, oh, they're here. And it can only be individual citizens. It can't be industrial vehicles dropping it off here. So I need you to go and dump all that debris back off in people's driveways, and we'll pick it up over the next year. And it's like, the dude was like, we could literally have all this debris cleaned up in 2 weeks to a month, and FEMA is just preventing us from cleaning up. And they're telling people that's going to take a year for them to clean up ultimately. It's completely inefficient and emblematic of just how fucking stupid the federal government is.
Shout out to Rob Hamilton for the coffee.
Bring your coffee.
Jesus, man. What a chance.
I wish Rob was here to bring me in something.
You nailed it. No, nobody's going to save us.
Yes.
Right? You got to take care of yourself. Neighbors helping neighbors. Got to take care of your family. Got to take care of your friends.
I tweeted this out in anger yesterday, but I do believe it. And wish I didn't curse in the tweet, but I do think individuals who recognize, like, this is bad. Like, yeah, I think you have a moral obligation to just disobey, go save your neighbors, hop in the helicopter, go get them. Don't listen to any of those people.
100%. And also, I would say, like, look, I mean, there's definitely cases of maliciousness, but we have a very incompetent, inefficient, you know, massive,
like, malicious, like the bureaucracy. Red Cross.
What I might
never send money to the Red Cross.
Yeah, I mean, what
this is an official statement.
What is their cut? It's like,
it's like, I don't know,
60% or something like that.
And then just imagine what they misallocate to the other 40. Yeah. Like, Doctors Without Borders.
But that's another reason why I like the Nostr direct funding. Yes. You know,
hey, but who cares? You know, if you send the wrong $5 to the wrong person.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, you
that's what I'm saying.
You spread it around. Like, the
it's
risk.
An, it's inherently it. More efficient.
Yes, yeah. But you also de-risk it.
Yeah. No, but I like. Like, the government's response to this disaster reeks of incompetence, but it's also not the first time that it has. Like, that is
definitely not the first time. Like, it's the standard.
Yeah. And a lot, like you said, Marty, like, a lot of these things, my guess is, like, if you do disobey them, like, there'll probably be no repercussions.
Like it's mostly just incompetence and red tape and bureaucracy and just years of bullshit and like the decaying foundations of our institutions.
So there is this funny thing is like there's some places in Canada where like there is no fire services for like residences and stuff because they're a bit further away. And they refuse to dump water from the airplane on your house because they don't want the liability. So you have to say the forest on fire at this address, you know, as opposed to my house is on fire.
Yeah, I mean,
it's just so like, you know.
The litigiousness of our society, like the liability thing, makes it so.
It's disgusting.
It really breaks a lot of incentives.
Yes. Speaking of incentives, we can get back to Bitcoin stuff. Ocean has unveiled its decentralized alternative templates for universal mining, calling it Datum. So it's similar to Stratum V2. It's designed to decentralize block construction by empowering miners to create their own block templates via their own Bitcoin node. Users can mine on pools that offer Datum support or solo mine without needing a third party to set up a server for them. Important detail here, Datum is currently working with the full node implementation Bitcoin Knots. So the launch of Datum is a pivotal moment for Bitcoin mining community. We're moving back block creation back to the individual miners, just as it was intended in the original white paper. With Datum, we're ensuring the security and decentralization of the Bitcoin network, safeguarding its future, said Luke Jasher, co-founder of Ocean. Front running Stratum V2.
What's your opinion, Marty?
I think it's good to see. Yeah, putting the I saw Matt Corallo was on Twitter, a little peeved that they're saying that their first implementation, but I think if we're running on technicalities, like having something live in the wild, this is true. That's one thing that Stratum V2 hasn't had, which is pick up by mining pools, and looks like Ocean's just YOLOing it, saying, we'll do it.
Look, I think this is fucking awesome. I think it's a great move. There's obviously trade-offs as with everything else, but I mean, I think the big thing here is Stratum V2 requires firmware changes on the actual ASICs, and most don't support it. And so this is backwards compatible with every ASIC that's ever been produced, and can be shipped today. They made it really easy to run on like a Start 9, or something like that, so that you can, you know, actually run this pretty lightweight server. The heaviest weight part is actually running the Bitcoin node, wherever your miners are located. And I'm actually going to have,
Mechanic.
No, I'm going to have a large portion of the Ocean team on Citadel Dispatch on Monday.
Cool.
At I think 2000, no, at 1900 UTC. 2000 UTC, I was correct. But that'll be really good at 4 p.m. Eastern time.
You know, I think that anything that is not hard consensus, you know, it's okay. You know, go do your thing. And like Stratum V2 took too fucking long.
And they can still ship if they figure it out.
And they were kind enough to make Datum backwards compatible.
Yeah.
So, you know, because they could just said fuck it and go their own direction and then maybe change it later or whatever, right? Like, it's okay. Like, this industry is going to grow and you're going to have more than one standard for things. There's nothing wrong with that. I think the cathedral sometimes gets us a little bit caught up in having things that are very,
it's got to be perfect.
Yeah, and again, like, you know, you got to be pragmatic, man. Like, people have lives and, you know, they have to do shit. And
the key is like...
This is better than nothing.
Yeah, and this is a massive, massive improvement. So the people I'm going to have on, the guys on our team is going to be Mark and Luke, Mechanic, and Jason.
Okay. You know what this reminds me of? LN Ural versus Bolt 12.
Yeah,
you know, Bolt 12, is it amazing? Yes, but you know, 5 years later, you know, like, and then we're all sort of like bridged the gap, right? And now we're slowly transitioning to Bolt 12. Like, it's okay, we're gonna make it. You know, it's early.
Yeah, you both mentioned it, but the backwards compatibility with the firmware is massive. That's gonna be the biggest roadblock for Stratum V2 is twofold, like getting the buy-in from the manufacturers, Bitmain and MicroBT, or getting buy-in from the aftermarket firmware providers like Brains and Luxor and others, and then actually getting the miners to fucking download the firmware, which miners don't really like doing stuff like that. They're pretty lazy. So
no, it's not just lazy. The risk, right? I mean, you have a whole mine. You don't want to upgrade firmware. Like, that's risk.
Yeah. So I didn't even know this was an option. So I was admittedly ignorant that this was going to be launched. I think they did a good job of hiding it behind the scenes. And so this is, like you said, massive that it's backwards compatible and people can just start using it today.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's also optional. Like, if you're mining with Ocean, you can use like their templates still if you want.
Yeah. I mean, you can even mine ordinals on Ocean. Yeah. Okay. There's none left. It's dead now.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, priced out.
Moving along, we have two OpenSats board members with us, and we're going to discuss some OpenSats grants.
Before we get there, one last interesting part that I thought was kind of cool when I was talking to them, and we'll go, like I said, we'll go more at length on the show on Monday. But so, like, one of the big concerns with miners making their own blocks is this idea that, oh, like, what if, you know, what if there's a malicious miner or just a retarded miner that's in your pool, and fees are really high and they're just mining either. I mean, the extreme is like mining empty blocks, right? But yeah, otherwise, like, just not mining the most profitable block they can mine. They actually have a mechanism in this that it's your future rewards are weighted based on how profitable your previous blocks were. It's not just a pure proof of work calculation.
It's almost like a difficulty adjustment.
Yeah,
in a way,
it's pretty, like, clever.
Yeah, it is. You really help mitigate spam. It's not perfect.
Yeah,
but and when I mean spam, I mean, like, you know, uneconomical activity. You want to punish bad economics.
Like the example, like, I think, like, a good theoretical example in your head is like, what if, like, what if Jihan of Bitmain of Antpool, right, doesn't want to see Ocean succeed. So just he puts some of his hash there and just only mines empty blocks in a high fee environment. Right. Right? Like, you need that miner to have a negative incentive of doing that.
And I mean, so they still get the fees, the mining, the block fees. And but, so it's not all bad.
Well, they get
reward. Block reward. Yeah. Yeah.
Not the fees.
But sorry. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So this is currently in closed beta. If you are interested, you want to test this out, you can contact Ocean. We'll have a link to the No Bullshit Bitcoin piece on this, and they have a link to where you can contact Ocean. And then they're going to completely open source it on October 18th, so 2 weeks from today. And that'll be an MIT open source license, so completely open source. Closed beta now, so if you want to test this, go check it out. You'll have to download a Knots node.
The license was very clever. It's very important because doing that, they're compatible with any code base.
Yeah.
So, like, people can stick that in their closed systems, in their open systems. It's very similar to the Bitcoin choice.
It needed to be MIT.
Yeah. The real through.
Yeah. So MIT is exactly. MIT is the license with zero restrictions. You can do whatever you want with it. Modify it. Yes. Distribute it.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Ocean. Datum. Go check it out, freaks. Second waves of education grants have been released by OpenSats. This wave of grants is going to Bitcoin Jungle, Bitcoin Indonesia, Deciphering Bitcoin, Bob Space's Residency, Cohort 3, Satsy's Pocket Guides, and Africa Free Routing.
I think a bunch of them were here.
Yes. I mean, I don't think people appreciate, like, how many applications we get. Like, it's pretty crazy. It is pretty crazy. Like, it's like a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's very hard, very hard, very hard to keep track of.
Yes,
and we're unpaid board members that are. It's a grind, but it's just awesome to see, you know, more and more projects get supported and just keep shipping, just constant shipping.
Yeah,
I think the education side is kind of interesting. It's a little bit, you know, it's definitely like an expansion of our scope.
It's
like
a bit mostly, on the edge, but it's important.
Yeah, we've been mostly focused on open source contributors, and now we're branching out into education as well. I mean, and this goes toward something that we've talked about a lot, which is, like, I think the core of this movement, right, is people, and it's empowering those people. And so how do you empower those people? Well, you need to have good education and you need to have good tools that make that education easier and make it less friction and more secure and more robust. So it's a combination between education and the tooling, right? And so I just want to say one thing on this education side. One thing that we've been very strong on here is that it needs to be effectively open source education.
Yes.
And now that's not a hard and fast definition of a term. Like, we kind of, the idea is, like, if you're creating like Satsi's making these books,
the zines,
these like small pamphlets, yes, basically.
They're really good.
They're awesome. But she's also freely distributing them on the internet. So you can print them out yourself. Like, anyone in the world can use them.
I think the point
is, which is, that's like the open source aspect in my mind. Right?
I think the point is, like, you know, this is, we're taking a philanthropical role with this project, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever you produce needs to be a common good.
Yeah. It needs to be like freely distributed.
Exactly. Right. Because, you know, it's not a for-profit thing.
Like, we're not gonna fund someone's, you know,
conference hopping,
like, or Bitcoin Park, right?
Exactly.
But if you're making education that's freely available on the internet,
and these are small grants, most of the education stuff is on the smaller side too.
Yeah,
so don't get too horny.
That's another piece, right? Is we don't publicly say the amount, mm-hmm. and there's a good reason for that. The reason is that we don't want to make people targets, especially if they're in certain countries, by saying exactly how much,
like,
Bitcoin they're receiving. Exactly. I will tell you, like, but it's all a balancing act, right? Because we're trying to make OpenSats the most transparent organization, charity in the world, the most efficient, the most transparent, the most scalable charity in the world. And it's a balancing act, but I will say that we've had discussions, like, I've thought sometimes, you know, like, where you're kind of putting grant recipients at risk, just even announcing who's receiving grants. Like, we've had a few situations where grant recipients have had negative effects.
I think nothing's set in stone. If we find that it's safer to just do some grants that are not public, so be it.
It's a balancing act. But my point is like, there's no obvious answer.
No, right. there is no obvious answer.
And we think very hard about this stuff.
And there's other orgs too.
Big stakes.
We've got other models, so people can always choose. Yeah. Just don't cause drama, people. That's all we ask.
Always go long drama. That might be the best number grow up technology that's ever been created.
Crime.
God candle.
Yeah. Yes. The God candle fixes everything, right?
The drama God candle. The God candle's coming. It's right around the corner. It's October. We started down, but that means we have a lot higher that we could potentially go.
The education grants are great, but I'm really excited for the long-term support that we just announced for Dusty.
So Dusty Damon, second OpenSats.
Best name.
Story of the week. Dusty, for anybody who's unaware, has been really pivotal, and he's the creator behind Splicing, which is a way to create more efficient channel management within the Lightning Network. He's going to use this long-term grant support to build out the Splice script and continue iterating on that and getting it incorporated into other implementations. Because right now, I believe it's only C Lightning and Async. Is that correct?
Yeah. So the cool thing here is, like, see, like, something like this could have been built and funded by one of the Lightning companies, and they would have done it sort of like their way.
Right.
And then it would have taken forever for the other ones to adopt. I mean, look at the concerns that Lightning has, right? It's the perfect kind of stuff is that funding things that essentially cause the commons to be enriched there and things to be more interoperable. It's very sort of, it's a great thing.
Yeah. I mean, he's doing really important work. It's, He has massive proof of work in the space as well. So I'm incredibly proud that we're supporting him and see what he continues to build. That got me thinking that I forgot to put on the list. There was a BTCD vulnerability, right?
Yes.
Oh, yes. I can't believe you don't have this on the list. We were just talking about it out there.
Yeah, and BTCD is most used in LND.
Yes.
So if you have an LND node, you need to update your LND node.
That's right.
Well, let's talk more about this. I'll pull up the link because it is pretty important. The guys from Liana, Antoine from Liana, is the one who disclosed this because there's some drama around this. Antoine from Liana basically responsibly disclosed this bug earlier this year, got the patch in. He got paid out, him and his team got paid out a bounty, and they were told that this would be responsibly disclosed around this month, and so it hasn't been. And so Antoine took it upon himself to basically sound the alarm bell and say, hey, if you're running BTCD, make sure you're up on version 0.24.2 because there is a consensus.
I can't remember. What was this vulnerability? I'm confusing this one with something else. I don't have the computer right in front of me.
What?
What was the actual vulnerability?
This came out this week.
Yeah,
but we don't know.
I guess that disclose it in a week.
I think the problem is
my guess is it's similar to, you know, what Barack was doing.
I think this one is just crashing the node.
Yeah, but that's what Barack was doing. Then you attack afterwards.
I know, but like what people need to also understand is that like the job of the vendor is very hard sometimes. Yeah. And like people, like it takes forever sometimes for you to get the install base to upgrade something. And you know, and there's always this sort of like dynamic between the researcher and the vendor where, you know, the researcher thinks it's the end of the world and the vendor thinks it's like not a big deal. And then like you find a balance in the middle, you know, but it's tricky.
I mean, yeah, obviously. I mean, but this once again, I think highlights this weird, not weird, but this completely different trust model and threat model of Lightning nodes versus Bitcoin nodes. With Bitcoin nodes, you don't want to stay, you know, you want to be smart about updating, not rush to updating, make sure like you're very conservative about it. But with Lightning nodes, like I've gotten into arguments with people that like the average person probably should effectively have it auto update.
Controversial opinion.
You know, and like auto updates are an attack vector, obviously, because they can ship a malicious update. But it feels like every few months, it's like if you don't immediately update to the latest version, you have funds at risk.
Controversial opinion. Lightning is not Bitcoin.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, a very clever system for you to pass Bitcoin around, but it's not Bitcoin. And
right. It's a payment protocol for Bitcoin.
The expectation is misrepresented.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's very expensive too. It's like 5% for you to do from your custodial, non-custodial, like Lightning thing. It's amazing technology. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, it has trade-offs.
Yeah. So this attack allows an attacker to hard fork
for batch Bitcoin transactions. Yeah. Sorry, go on.
This particular attack allows an attacker to hard fork nodes by using a simple standard transaction, i.e. at virtually no cost. And so this was a disclosure.
It kind of reminds me of like the Barack attacks, where he just like took out like 70% of LND nodes.
It's just,
I mean, 100% of LND nodes, but 70% of the network.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's... I don't quite get why there is no more distribution of types of nodes around. Like, it seems that LND node is really... Is it because it's easy to install?
It's Lindy, you know? It's just... And, like, also, like, I mean, I don't think people rotate... Like, you have to close all your channels and move to a new node. There's a lot of friction there. But, like, all there's so much tooling out for LND stuff, and...
We still don't have Lightning in our store.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know... It's like he needs babysitter.
I mean, and then of course the other piece, right, is, you know, in Lightning nodes are inherently hot wallets.
Yes.
Right? Because they have to be always online and interactive, which you don't have that issue with on-chain Bitcoin.
Yeah, I'm trying to discern. Did you guys read this disclosure?
No.
Or the announcement of the coming disclosure? It says there are currently about 70,000 Bitcoin full nodes running on the network, of which 60 are running BTCD. Does he mean 60,000 or 60 overall?
Probably 60 overall, like that are big.
Wait, what? Repeat that again?
There are currently about 70,000 Bitcoin full nodes running on the network, of which 60 are running BTCD. From these 60 BTCD nodes, 20 are still running known to be vulnerable version. So I don't know if it's like 60,000, 20,000 are still running. 60,
that's it, 60 for sure.
Okay, no, but that, I wonder, so my assumption is the real concern is not people running BTCD as like an on, you know, no, just on chain. It's because BTCD is a dependency.
Well,
is a
BTCD is on chain, but it's powering their
LND.
Their LND.
Like everyone who runs LND is running BTCD.
Yes, and that's there is no other way unless they patch.
That's more than 60 people.
No, I think that's it. That are public or any significance. That's they probably have a
you
threshold.
You think there's only 60 LMD
probably.
Nodes?
Pull out no Luke way. Dasher. No, Luke Dasher
I've
has
run
a nice.
Five.
I know, but they might not be announcing, right? They might not have, you know. I don't.
No, I. Yeah. Okay.
There is no 60,000 for sure.
No. I agree in terms of like BTCD nodes that aren't light LND nodes.
I don't know anything about Lightning.
Yeah. No, like 60 maybe. Overall sounds exactly correct. You know, it sounds about right.
I highlighted
right.
something.
Oh, there you go. Fama is NVK is right.
It's Weirdo Robot. Yeah, but that's not my point.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, it's only 16 nodes.
Fama.
Well, we'll find out in a week. But if you're running LND, you should probably update. And we'll find out exactly what happens, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Find out next week. All right, with that, we're at...
I mean, if you're running LND, my point, once again, is that if you're running LND, you should probably always be updating.
We're all going to make it. Small issue.
Yes. Or if you're running Core Lightning or any of the other, LDK, any of the Lightning implementations for that matter.
Be aware. Now we're on to the Human Rights Foundation story of the week, which is coming out of Israel, which tightens financial control with push for cashless society and digital shekel. Israel plans to remove 200 shekel banknotes from circulation, which account for 80% of the banknotes held by the public. This proposed mandate is part of Israel's plan to abolish cash entirely over the next few years and coincides with the development of a central bank digital currency, the digital shekel. Alongside this, a proposed ban on precious metals such as silver and gold would restrict alternative forms of money and wealth preservation. To enforce these measures, the Israeli government plans to use artificial intelligence to monitor, collaborate with financial authorities, such as the tax and anti-money laundering authorities and the police, and enhance oversight of non-banking financial entities. The nearly 3 million people who live under the West Bank under the Abbas regime will also be affected by this, as the Palestinian Authority doesn't issue its own currency and Palestinians are forced to use the shekel. Go read more of these stories by signing up for the HRF weekly newsletter at financialfreedomreport.org. And yet again, we see a government using its central authority to try to pigeonhole people into the digital cashless panopticon. The story is old as time on this show, taking out the banknotes. We've seen it, I think, most famously in India, where they took out the higher denominated
yep.
rupees notes and replaced them. And then
Euro.
Nigeria.
Euro did that too. They used to have a $500 euro bill. Sorry, 500 euro bill.
And they forced people to...
Yeah, because, you know, what they used to do is, like, even big companies, they would, like, get a bunch of those and stick it in a safe deposit box yeah. in Switzerland. And, you know.
Yeah, I mean, this trend is... It's getting worse out there, this move to cashless society. I mean, I think the North Korean activists... Supposedly, North Korea did it a bunch of times,
yeah.
too. And then what they do a lot of times is... They give you, like, what India did, which was really fucked up, was they give you a very short window.
Yes.
And
everybody waits in ATM lines.
Yes.
And the idea is that they want you to panic into trying to convert it and then bag and tag you on yes. that process. So you're stuck with a situation where you either have everything absolutely tracked or you lose your life savings,
well, I mean,
which is insane.
This is more nefarious than that. It's like, you know, they want to price out the poor people.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, the poor people, like, you know, they will have the smaller bills.
But in this case, they're getting rid of the bigger bills.
No, they're getting the small bills too. I think.
Okay. I mean, this was it said yeah, in there.
I mean, they're definitely going to get rid of all the bills.
Yes.
Like, the plan brutal. Is to get rid of all the bills.
It's pretty brutal.
And usually, they start with the big bills.
Well, the HRF said this is the most widely held note within Israel. So.
Yeah, it's imagine. The 200,
probably
like, right.
Yeah, it was probably equivalent to the like $20 bill. It's like a 20 in Israel.
Unless they're measuring it by like volume, you know, like total mm-hmm. value held. Like I think if you did that, like the $100 bill in America would be the biggest. It would be the like holds the most percentage of total yes. cash circulation is $100.
Accounts for 80% of the banknotes held by the public.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, Bob.
What's the exchange rate? Can you just, where are the computers far away from us? Can you just do 200 shekels to dollars?
Shekel to USD. Yeah, it's $52. So.
Oh my God, they're banning the $50
yeah,
bill.
They're going for the middle.
Fucked up.
The middle of the curve where everybody holds.
I mean, it was fucked up regardless.
Yeah, and we've seen this typically when it's implemented, this works terribly because they take it out, it creates like economic strife because the rollout of the new bill or the new CBDC doesn't go as fluid as the government thought it would, and then it just leads to chaos. Israeli citizen out there, you should probably get some Bitcoin.
This is what, no, and all the Palestinians. That's
Palestinians too, yeah.
That's the target.
Yeah.
It's not like, yeah, it's... I don't know. I don't know if in Israel you're allowed to bank USD. Like in Canada, you can. So I imagine like any population there.
Well, probably the rich people can.
Yeah. Unaffected. Rules for D, but not for me.
I mean, this is just another. It's just another perfect example of why, like, the goal should be to accumulate as much Bitcoin as possible and learn how to use it as effectively as possible before you need it, because it becomes an incredibly powerful tool, but also. It becomes an incredibly powerful tool, but also it becomes more difficult in these moments of pressure and chaos to actually acquire and learn how to use it at that point. Like, you need to be prepared ahead of time.
Yes.
You don't want to be cattle into the ATM, man.
No.
Like, if you're in the ATM line, you're already lost.
Yeah, you've lost.
Like, you know, like, you're not going to make it. Remember the Greece stuff, you know,
yeah,
way back then?
The limits on how much you could take
that's
out.
Right. That's how, like, a lot of the Bitcoin sort of revolution around that time happened, right?
You're still in Lebanon,
Satoshi
too.
Has a plan for you.
Yeah.
Great song.
Yeah. Lebanon's another example of the last few years. So we've got India, Nigeria, Lebanon, Israel, Europe. It's happening. Do you think they'll ever try to do it here?
Dad, they're not going to get away with it.
I think the sneaky frog boiling thing is that most people are just moving because of convenience. And
Apple
so
Pay, man.
They don't have to, yeah.
You know, they don't even carry a wallet anymore.
I mean, you see it all over Austin. It's becoming more and more common in Nashville where you see cashless places. And most people just don't bat an eye. And then even places that still accept cash, like most people – probably pay with Apple Pay or credit card or
guilty.
Guilty or, too.
I mean, there's a huge Venmo economy. There's a huge Venmo economy in Nashville, where like small contractors and stuff expect to get paid in Venmo.
Did they like paying? Because you know, contractors notoriously like to get paid in cash.
Yeah, I like the younger ones are like,
fuck it.
They don't realize. I don't think they're just. It's Stockholm syndrome.
They don't even know.
They don't know another way.
Yeah.
You know?
It's fish swimming in water. You're like, oh, this is it's just the way the world works. I was not expecting that to come out of Israel. I was not expecting Israel to be like one of the first countries to go bankless. But
yeah,
actually, they were the first to do the vaccine. This actually does
make sense. It's incredibly on brand.
It's on brand.
CBDC powered by AI surveillance or whatever is like,
well, you typically expect it to be like,
you know, like it's, you know, remember, right? War is the life of this state.
Yeah.
Right. And that's a country that's been in a war since inception. Right.
Yep.
So like it's very difficult to separate the war mentality from the normal governance mentality. So they're always in that state of mind. And I think it's a lot easier to push these things. We're always in that state of mind. Right. Remember, COVID was insanity there too.
Yeah. They were trying, they had like
they had the passports and
the most sophisticated tracking mechanisms for people during that period.
Nothing is simple in this world, man.
You just stay humble and stack sats. It's pretty simple.
It's great advice.
Yes.
Speaking of great advice, we got to get to the top four boosts from last week's rabbit hole recap. Never short Bitcoin. But if you shorted when we recorded last week's episode and then close the short Tuesday, you'd probably be up right now.
You have done great.
Would have made some money. That was Rip 324. Biggest boost Rip we've had in a while. Top boost from at MBS, 133,333 sats. Six-figure boost. Mandibles, stay humble, and stack sats. The freaks will win. Shout out to you, MBS.
Great advice. Great book. You should read it.
Have you read it?
Of course.
No.
Did you know I deleted my Twitter?
What?
At Northwest Arkansas Bitcoin, 69,479 sats. We are hosting Hardware 101 featuring Blockstream Jade this Saturday, October 5th at 11 a.m. at the Fayetteville Public Library. We'll improve our stacking security, build our community, and have a good time doing it. Additional details can be found in the usual places, Noster feed, meetup page, Telegram chat, and X. See y'all there, Northwest Arkansas Bitcoin. Let's go check that out.
Love it.
Public Library, getting utilized. Love to see it. At Pringle Stacks, 55,555 sats, fives across the board. Palindrome Boost. Currently in cow country, boys, listening to this rip and grabbing the bull by the horns. Love it, Sil. My definition of luck, opportunity met with preparation. Work hard and anything is possible, especially in Bitcoin. Final thought. Spewing after F45 is vicious. Stay humble. Stack sats.
Love it.
Last but not least, Eric99, 50,000 sats. Stay humble. Stack sats.
Great advice.
Great advice. Software updates. We'll let the boring Bitcoin.review guy do this one. This is
I can't read the computer. I mean, you know, like somebody had to do a list show.
Marty, read the list.
I'm reading the list. Jam version 0.3.0 has been released with freeze, unfreeze, review UTXOs before sending. Jam is new to me. Your sats, your privacy, your profit. It's a web interface for join market, focusing on user friendliness and ease of use. It aims to provide sensible defaults and be easy to use for beginners while still having the features advanced users expect. Let's go check this out.
It's the easiest last one standing.
Well, no, Wasabi has like free coordinators now.
And
Samurai has that that new forked version that came out too.
Yeah, but not, it doesn't have Whirlpool. It might have Whirlpool in the future, but it doesn't right now. Jam is the easiest way to use Join Market.
Try Join Market, guys. Seriously, it's amazing.
Which is a coin join tool that doesn't have a centralized coordinator. The easiest way to run it is you can run it on Start9 or Umbral. It's just one click.
The only real risk there is just the coins are hot.
Yeah. But the coins are always hot in CoinJoin.
Yeah, but it's like a little bit more fiddling for the average person to set it up.
Yeah.
With Jam is easier.
Yeah.
But use a clean machine, seriously, for join markets. Like, please use a clean machine.
Well, I would, like, for the average person, like a less technical person is like, maybe you just have a Start9 that only does join market.
Yeah, that's it.
It just runs Bitcoin Core and Jam.
Don't put your photo sharing in the same box as you're doing join market.
Yeah, don't have your, like, kids' photos.
That's right. Separation of concerns, you know, security, hygiene.
It's important. Be hygienic, freaks. ARC version 0.3.0 has been released with VTXO tree signing, simplified onboarding processes, and more. I believe I saw Alex Berg tweeting about this, that ARC mainnet should be released in the coming months, and he's pretty bullish on it.
He was here for a Global Bitcoin Summit, and I was talking to him about it last night. I guess he works for them now. Works with them now.
Yeah, he announced officially. So, yeah.
Oh, but he's very excited about it. I don't know how much. Like, I have this like weird. Like, I just, it's like, what is vaporware? What is real? What is not? I look forward to like actually seeing it in production. And
I could be misrepresenting, but Rob, I know you're watching. If I get it wrong, come knock on the door. apparently, this version of it doesn't require any Bitcoin fork or anything.
No self fork.
Yeah, so like it's actually usable.
But there's trade-offs that were made as
all
a result
trade-offs.
Of that.
Many trade-offs.
Yeah. So like
there's scalability.
I want to see how it works in production.
Second is another ARC implementation company that's come to market. I did a test with them on mainnet. It works. And it does the same thing where you don't need a soft fork for covenants, whether that's CAT or CTV. It works, but there are scaling limitations, particularly when it comes to like the size of how big rounds can be. If you had covenants, you would easily be able to basically sign with one signature to take away a partial UTXO from the ARC service provider. But in this way, the way I understand it, you have to like aggregate all the signatures and send it up. And so once you hit a certain scale of people within a round that an ASP is initiating, you get scaling limits there in terms of the latency of how long it takes you to actually aggregate and sign all those signatures. Covenants would help with that.
Yeah, I think there's also an additional trust trade-off. He was explaining the trust model to me as similar to like how Mercury does state chains, where it's, you know, if the provider, which I think in this case would be ARC Labs, effectively colludes with your counterparty, then they can take your money. And I don't think that's the case if there was actually a soft fork.
Controversial statement, non-controversial statement.
Yeah.
You know, like honestly, like all these things that are trying to emulate covenants, they're not going to go anywhere until we have covenants on chain. Because the trade-offs are too inefficient.
Agreed. But I think what ARC's doing, Second is doing as well, is like, all right, let's do this, get it on mainnet, and then prove the use case for covenants. Prove the use case,
exactly. That's their purpose. It's not to be like production ready, it's to prove the use case.
Yeah.
I think there's a high chance we end up getting probably KET in the next 5 years.
Jor is asking in the live chat about backing, like how you handle backups for multisig. And the key with backing up multisig is if you lose one of your keys, you still need to know the public key for that.
And the script.
Yeah. So in practice, what that means is save your Sparrow. Basically, if you're using Sparrow, you save your Sparrow config file, right? You save that Sparrow wallet file. That's a digital file. And then you ideally make sure you have like redundant copies of that.
So if you create the multisig using cold cards.
Yeah. Each cold card is holding one.
The backup is already there, and all you do is you back up the cold card, and you will have a copy of the script.
If you do the digital backup of the cold card.
Yes, yes.
If you do the SD card backup.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. People think you make a multisig if you have your private key, you're good, but you need that config file to create the public key.
Yeah, it's important to back up everything, but not always lost. I mean, like, honestly, like now we're pretty standardized on multisig. So the necessity of backing up the script is sort of diminishing, which is nice.
Right.
People are using like fairly standard multisig things.
Yeah. That's
a lot of that advice I'm saying, like, came from back in the day when like there were a lot of different things. People would lose their money, not knowing where the script was.
Yeah.
So we're all going to make it.
Hey, you'll be happy to hear this, MVK. Musashi 718. He said, "I listen to Bitcoin Review every week and never fall asleep. One of my top three favorite pods."
I don't know why you're reading the ad.
Wish you would list websites to the projects in your show notes.
This is definitely Rob Hamilton's like
alt account. No, it's a lie. Like,
I want to hear more information on the AnchorWatch.
It's totally Rob. What a nice throw. That was a good one.
Rob just doxed his name.
No, nobody listens to that pod. It's just group therapy for software people.
It's good group therapy. Crux version 24.09.1 has been released with Wonder MV support, performance improvements, and more.
Okay, this project is awesome. If you're looking for a DIY, FOSS, Bitcoin, hardware wallet, like, these kids are so good. They have harder experience. Like, they're building everything in the open. Their Telegram is amazing. Like, people are super helpful. You know, I hope they are my biggest competitor. Like, we're funding them, you know, like from OpenSats.
Yeah,
like,
they have an OpenSats
like,
grant.
It's really cool. Like, they really understand the problem, and they are in a developing country too, which really helps understand the actual necessity as opposed to like, you know, like the quintessential, like, you know, North American white people saying, yeah, you need this. You know, like, they are like, no, we need this.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't, have you used one yet?
Oh, absolutely. I have a few built.
They use the M5 stack or something. What's the hardware?
The K10. It's kind of like an ESP type thing, but it's RISC.
Got it.
It, a lot of so the main thing with them is that they're doing the correct path, which is like you build from the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of trade-offs still.
Right.
Like, that's the main thing. And they're very open about that, right? Like, you know, it's not like a ultra crazy secure platform. You know, like there is things, but the mind is in the right place, and with time they will have something that is like extremely hardened. It's already probably more secure than like half the hard wallets out there.
They've been shipping pretty quickly too.
Yes. It's I'm very impressed. Very impressed.
And shout out to the Crux team. Shout out to the Crux team. Impressing over here. At Vault Wallet. Vault Wallet version 0.4.5 beta 0.1 has been released with fixes and improvements. Is this this is Abu Bakar's project, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I have some commentary from Rob. It's important. So Arc without fork is N of N signing, so everyone has to be online. Yeah. Major trade-off.
Well, yeah, Alex was saying that basically what he sees it being used as is like you run it next to your Lightning node.
Yes.
So you run it alongside your Lightning node.
Yes.
Which is already 24/7 anyway, you need to and be interactive. High level. And then you could use it for like channel rebalancing and stuff like that.
And he swear it was not him making the
sure he does. That's what anybody would do.
Rob would have zapped at least.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the zap would be bigger.
Well, Rob, if you're listening for clarification, and you can text Rodolfo this clarification, that's only for like in round payments. I know Second at least has like intra round payments, which the ASP sort of handles. They're more custodial.
Let's just.
You can do those offline.
I'm sorry we're bringing the autism to your show.
Like a very easy rule of thumb is just let people ship. And then we can just see how it works.
That's right.
Yes. Nunchuck Android version 1.9.52 and iOS version 1.9.55 has been released with Decoy wallets. This is good to see. I noticed this update. Huge. It is huge.
I've been on Hugo's DMs for at least a year or two now, every day. Like, you know, so when the rest spins. Do you use it?
No, I don't. I've like played around with Nunchuck. I don't know. I mean, I both think that, you know, most people will use Bitcoin on mobile, but like also like Nunchuck's like multi-sig focus. It's like more of a savings type of wallet.
Yeah, I don't use for that. I use for travel.
I don't want like a mobile coordinator that multi-sig. I prefer to just use Sparrow on desktop. But it's an important project, and look, at the end of the day, there's going to be billions of people that never use Bitcoin with a desktop or notebook computer. They're just going to use it with mobile. So we need the mobile wallets to be as robust and awesome as possible. I would, on the duress pin thing, like, I wish, you know, Graphene has this feature. I know you love the Graphene project.
Yeah, you don't even use it.
I mean, iPhone should have a duress pin feature.
Yeah. I think Apple won't do that because
Apple will never do that.
But that would be awesome.
Yeah, it's everything should have the rest. But
like, they have the 10 incorrect. Like, yeah, if you do 10, it just wipes.
I mean, you should turn off your phone always when you're crossing a border or something.
That's most secure at rest, but that makes sense. I always opt for like paper boarding passes.
Because see, what do you like? The rest pins are not for like, you know, like the NSAs with helicopters in front of your house.
Yeah.
Like, it's more for like, you know, like. You know, maybe a guy is trying to just rob you on the street or something. It makes you unlock your phone.
I mean, one of the coolest things about Cold Card is not just that it has duress pins, that it has so many different combinations of duress pins that it just...
It's part of the plausible deniability, yeah, right? We added a bunch of stuff.
Exactly.
So you can't...
I would love to see... I think that should be like standard on phones.
I really want that erase pin.
Yeah, the erase pin is awesome.
It's like, I want to erase my phone.
Cold Card even has a feature where it's an erase pin, but it doesn't look like it was erased.
Yes.
Which, that would be so powerful on a phone.
There is also the inverse.
Imagine.
It pretends it was erased, but it was not. But
you put in the address pin on a phone, and then it just...
Or lock out. You know, you put a pin in, and it says, no, sorry, you can't log in for 24 hours.
Yeah. I had a cold card that I had to destroy because I set it to the really long
28 one. 28 days later, I made it because the movie name.
And you have to leave it plugged in while it's going. And it just, I just stopped getting close to it. I was like, fuck it, this one's dead. And I just destroyed it.
Yeah.
It was 28 days later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that how Puppy Sale died?
It might have been how Puppy Sale died.
Yeah.
Puppy Sale, the original
test device.
The original test device.
Yeah, the Ledger guys have the same device.
I mean, it had to be a test device because the compromise words were so public.
Right.
It's just like...
Moving on. AlbiGo version 1.6.0 has been released with security settings, link handling support, and more. Minibits version 0.1.9 beta has been released with performance improvements and themes.
Have you played with AlbiGo yet?
No.
I need to play with it. It's their new mobile wallet. A mobile self-custody. It goes back. I think it interacts with like a home node or a server node.
Yes.
It's like basically like an interface like Zeus. Like Zeus, yeah. But it like directly integrates with Albi Hub, which is like the part that you run on the server.
Okay.
But I haven't played with it yet.
I'm a Zeus Maxi.
They've been shipping really, really quick with the self-custody focus, which is really awesome to see.
Shout out to Albi. Minibits version 0.1.9 beta has been released with performance improvements and themes. Amethyst version 0.92.1 has been released with Tor and transient accounts. It's good to see.
The way he's doing Tor is really cool. It's integrated, and then there's like all these toggles where you can choose what goes through Tor and what doesn't go through Tor. So like one use case, for instance, is you can have almost everything go through Tor except for videos.
Yeah.
Because videos through Tor, you'll never watch them. Yeah.
Vitor is a beast. I mean, he's just constantly shooting.
He's awesome. I love that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to Vitor. Noster, God, I hate this name. Version 1.16.0 has been released with Noster Nest integration, live streams, and more.
Yeah, great. The name sucks, but the client has been getting really good. And I just love this idea of Noster Nest integration and hopefully soon ZapStream integration.
My phone.
That's what people want. People want to be able to access it easily on mobile directly in the client, be able to see if people are live, who's not live.
Whenever I type Noster on my phone, the iOS tries to autocorrect Nostur. Yeah. It is very annoying.
Yeah. He's going to change the name, but the two names that he said he was probably going to change to are worse, so we'll see what happens there.
Yes.
ZapStream works. We have Sky in the live chat saying that ZapStream works on
Nostur. Cool. Ski, not Sky, bro.
I know, I fucked it up last time, so felt like continuing it.
Last but not least, Gossip version 0.12.0 has been released with bookmarks, per relay feeds, and more.
Dinger is another beast.
Gossip's dope. It's like it's the Sparrow of Noster clients.
Yeah. The UI is awesome. Like, it really is nerdy, but it's awesome.
Go check it out. That's all we got. I've got a video that I think we should watch. And I've got some thoughts based off the retreat as well.
Awesome. Well, let's do that and then let's wrap.
We got a fellow Brazilian pumping the coin here, Rodolfo.
Oh, there you go.
I have been reading this book, Democracy, the God That Failed Us, and Hans Hermann Hoppe is an Austrian economic, and he's explained why people embrace the idea of democracy and think we cannot talk about other stuff. And I'm not telling let's stop with the democracy, but let's think about that, because the majority is not right all the time. Actually, the majority every time tends to have... Like, democracy, usually they have bad incentives. So we saw the politicians, what they do. So I just want people to realize that to save you, you have to do by yourself, like I did, like all the people that produces do. So my message, that was just a statement to make a shock on people and to say, nowadays, all the government are destroying our money. Doesn't matter how much money I make, if in America, in France, or in every other democracy, if they keep imprinting money and giving welfare. I don't want to be too political over here, but if you want to understand all this, start to read that kind of book. The last time I recommend the Six Lessons, right, for Ludwig von Mises, and now I say try to read Hans Hermann Hoppe, Murray Rothbard, What Has Government Done to Our Money? And everything that I'm saying here is leading to one thing: take money out of government so they cannot spend. And I know a lot of you guys don't like that, but my idea is one day who doesn't have Bitcoin is going to be in trouble because they're going to depend on government. I don't like government at all. So I think maybe it's necessary, but you have to keep government at bay. So that's why I was telling that to people. So if you have same ideas as me, go to the YouTube. I talk a lot about that. If you're not, that's okay. That's up to you. You know, I'm not telling you to stop democracy, but let's think about that, because especially in my country, Brazil, every political choice is being on the wrong side, in my opinion. So that's why I wanted to talk about that.
Renato Moicano, everybody. What a legend.
Best UFC fighter. My favorite was...
Fuck Macron?
Yeah.
That was so good.
It was post-fight, right? You started with Fuck Macron, and then at the end he was like, I love Paris, beautiful city. Yeah. Like,
you know, France. I mean, like, the eloquence, like, you know, he really distilled down those books, if you ever read it, to like really like the most sort of the essence of
what
it.
He has a podcast now.
Oh, that's good.
I forget what the name of the podcast was. But
is it in Portuguese?
I don't know. But the funny part was the first, I think it's in English. The funny part was the first time he started talking about reading Austrian economics and Bitcoin. He actually asked Joe Rogan, like, asked him how the fight went. And the first thing he did was invite Joe onto his podcast. He's like, I just launched a podcast.
Everyone is a podcaster.
I think that's probably the first time a UFC fighter has asked Joe that.
That's great.
And Joe said no.
He did right there on the spot. No,
no, he just, it was a non-answer.
Oh, okay.
It's small things like that though. Like he's really leaning into it. He's getting, like, he's had a couple of upsets his last few fights. The one in France was an upset, and having him out there, whoever doesn't have Bitcoin is going to be in trouble because they're going to depend on the government. True.
Look up the name of his podcast. It's actually, it's a pun name.
I'm going to download it.
Is it Sound Money? It's not Sound Money.
Renato, if you're out there, man, come on the show.
It's a good name.
Oh God. First line in his bio. We need to get to him. I buy Bitcoin with Swan.
kind of the least surprising thing ever.
Oh my God, it's amazing.
His website's moneymoicano.com.
Is that the name of the pod? Money Moicano?
I found Show Me the Money podcast.
Oh, Show Me the Money. That's it. That's a great name.
Oh, dude. They really got to him.
I love when there's like these people that like you watch their like super peeling, because you know there's the people who just, you know, orange peel kind of thing, and then they just sort of, you know, they just are users or whatever. But then there is these people who like they just become this like ultra peelers, like very quickly, you know, like or don't like Sailor. I mean, like, you know, the trajectory is just insane, right? Like they just go full ape it.
Study Bitcoin. That was the other thing I wanted to bring up. We got a sneak peek demo of the Start 9 router at Bear Clotter Founders Retreat, and that was one of the most impressive things I've seen. I think you two were playing poker while that was going on, but that was impressive. That be on the lookout for that. They've been teasing it. They're getting closer.
Awesome.
You guys tired?
Do you have any?
A little.
Yeah, I'm exhausted. I got a bunch of things to do. I'm really fucking exhausted. I'm sorry, freaks.
We were definitely on the tail end of.
It's been a long,
the energy.
Very long week.
Yeah, it's been a long week.
Almost done.
I haven't seen this many humans around me in like 6 months.
Yeah. I'm right there with you guys. So we can wrap it up there. It was a great week. It was great to see both of you in person. Very special what we do at this retreat, and It's always a good recharge, even though we're very tired right now. I think mentally very recharged, very remotivated to get back in there, get in the trenches with you guys.
Thank you for joining us, MVK. You have any final thoughts?
Stay humble, stack stats.
Great advice.
Peace and love.